week's parasha. Parasha was Hanan. Starts off Va'es Hanan El Hashem Bo'es Hahi Leimor. Moshe Rabbeinu davened to Rabbeinu Shalom. He wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael, and he davened to Rabbeinu Shalom. Rashi tells us Ein Hanan B'chol Mokoyim El Loshein Matnas Hinam. And the word Chanon, the Lashon of Tefillah of Chanon, is a Lashon of a Matnas Chinam, a free gift. The Medrash says that Rabbeinu Shalom took Moshe around upstairs in Shemayim, and he showed him different rooms. And he said, this room is a room for people that got such and such Nechusim, and did such and such mitzvahs. And he took him to a nicer room and said, this room is for people who did even greater. And he took him to a third room and said, this is even for greater. And then he took him to a room that was much, much greater than all the three other rooms. And he said, this room is a room for people that didn't expect anything. They didn't do anything. It was Matnas Chinam. This was a special room for Matnas Chinam. What does that mean? Let's try to understand this Midrash. It says in Pirkei Avos that a person is supposed to do a mitzvah not to be mekabel schar. He's not supposed to do it to be mekabel schar. Why? What's the schar of a mitzvah? The schar of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. What does that mean? Reb Moshe says we have the ma'isa in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, we have Shifra and Pua, Yocheved and Miriam. They save the babies of Klal Yisrael. They risk their lives to save them. Pari said, kill the boys, and they came up with excuses and so on and so forth, and they saved them. The Pasuk tells us, Vayita v'yetev elikim lamiyaldos v'yirev ha'om v'yatz m'moid. We know that in this chus that they did this, Rashi tells us they got malchus and kahuna, they did get another reward. But Reb Moshe says, Moshe Feinstein says, that you know what their reward was? The Pasuk tells us what their reward was. Their reward was, Vayirev ha'om vayatz m'moed. The greatest schar that a person can get for doing a mitzvah is the mitzvah, is what he accomplishes with the mitzvah of doing it l'shem shamayim. The schar that they, the Mayaldais, Shifra and Pua, Yecheved and Miriam received was the reward that they saw that Klal Yisrael got strong and Klal Yisrael survived and they continued to grow, and we know the rest of the story that happened. And Moshe says that was their schar. Yeah, there was again the side schar of the Malchus, but that was not the main schar of Moshe. This was the main schar. That's what the Pasuk is telling us. The Kedusha Slavi explains in the Pasuk, it says, Va'es Hanan El Hashem Bo'es Ahi Leimor. At that time, Bo'es Ahi Leimor. What is Bo'es Ahi at that time? Zok the Kedusha Slavi. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that everything that the Ribbono Shel Olam does is for the good. The Ribbono Shel Olam is telling him, you're not going to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, punishment, not punishment, whether it was his name, he did something. The Ribbono Shel Olam is telling him, it's for his good. So then what was he davening for? Va'es Hanan, what was he davening? He davened 515 tefillos. Zok Megala Mukus. Why did he daven 515 tefillos? So the Kedusha Slavi says, Bo'es Ahi. He was saying is, of course I understand that the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want me to go in. He davened that he should understand now why he shouldn't go in. He wasn't davening to go in. Unbelievable word. He wanted to say, he asked the Ribbono Shel Olam for this. I can understand in theory that the Ribbono Shel Olam is doing it for my good. But sometimes we want to see it. Someone is laying in a tzara. And he can sit there and rationalize, and it's true. The Ribbono Shel Olam is doing it, and there's a good reason for it. But we'd like to see. Sometimes after something happens, something that looks bad to us, and then later on we find out that we can see it clearly with our eyes, it was good. We're very happy to see that. You say, oh, you see that bad thing that happened to us? It was really something good. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was davening. Va'es Hanan El Hashem Bo'es Ahi Leimor. It's a Merdi Chsam Sefer. Chsam Sefer says, When you say Shema Yisrael in the end of the parasha in capital Vov Pasuk Dalet, we all know Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We say with the it says in Shulchan Aruch that we cover our eyes. Pashtus says Shulchan Aruch says we cover our eyes. That we should be able to concentrate. When your eyes are covered, you're not looking around, you don't see things, you can't be distracted. Zoftech Sam Sefer, he says, we say Shema Yisrael, listen Yisrael. Hashem, Yudke Vovke, which is a lashon of Chesed and Rachamim. Elokeinu is a lashon of Din. So we have the lashon of Chesed and Rachamim, the lashon of Din. Plus again, Hashem, again, the Lashon of Rachamim, Echad. You should know that what we see as Hashem, Elokeinu, we see the Chesed and the Din, we sometimes see Din, we see Elokeinu, you should know Hashem, Echad, it's all Hashem. Even if we can't see it, but it's all Hashem. And Dr. Chassam said that that's why we cover our eyes. We cover our eyes to explain that we don't always see that it's Hashem Echad, but we're mamin that it's all Hashem Echad. And that's why we cover our eyes. Perhaps that is what the Pasuk over here is telling us, the Medrash, when the Medrash says that there's this special room for those that ask for Matnas Chinam. The Baruch Shalom certainly does not owe what we would call owe anyone's char. Any mitzvah, any capabilities, anything that a person has capabilities to do is only because they're by Nishloyo. Someone builds a sukkah, he goes sits in a sukkah. Who gave him the koiches to build the sukkah? Who gave him the money to go buy the sukkah? Without the by Nishloyo, the by Nishloyo doesn't owe us anything. He doesn't need what we have to offer him. Certainly not. But nonetheless, there is a concept that the by Nishloyo created in this world that he does give schar for mitzvahs. And we do get schar. But the greatest schar is to realize we cover our eyes, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, is that we're doing it without looking. We're doing it without seeing, oh, I'm going to get schar for it. We're doing it for one reason, for the covered Shemaim, for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what the Pasuk is telling us, and that's what the Medrash is explaining, that the Lashon of Hanan is a Lashon of Amatnas Chinam, and that is the greatest schar a person can get in this world. Not that you're supposed to be doing it for the schar, but that is the highest Madriga. Move further in the parasha. The parasha says, "Va'atem havekim b'Hashem elokeichem chayim kulchem hayim." How are we supposed to attach ourselves to the Ribbono Shel Olam? We're supposed to attach ourselves to the Torah. It says a person is supposed to marry a bas Talmud Chacham because he always has a connection. He's supposed to be pragmatia with the Talmud Chacham. The Radvaz in the Metudas David in the Sefer HaMitzvah says that certainly learning Torah gives you a connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. To be to have a dveikus to the Ribbono Shel Olam is certainly through learning Torah. The Shlach HaKadosh tells us that on this pasuk, "Va'atem Hashem, va'atem adveikim b'Hashem elokeichem chayim kulchem hayom," he tells through the pasuk in Tehillim that we all know, "Shivisi Hashem l'negdi somit." A person has to always see the Ribbono Shel Olam in front of him. That includes Torah and mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. That's how we are to connect ourselves to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ma'alas HaTorah, which was written by the brother of the Goyin, he writes that he asked his brother a question. The Vilna Goyin wrote Svarim on Kol HaTorah Kula. He wrote on the Chumash, he wrote on the Shas, he wrote on Sifri, Sifra, Mechilta, Shulchan Aruch, Zayah. The Goyin wrote Svarim on Kol HaTorah Kula. There's one thing he did not write a Sefer on. He did not write a Sefer HaMitzvahs. You will not find a Sefer HaMitzvahs Lagra. Many Svarim that there have Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam, the Rambam, the Radaz, many, but there's no Goyin. So the brother of the Goyin asked his brother, he says, "Why didn't you write a Sefer HaMitzvahs?" The Vilna Goyin answered him, "It's true, there are Tayyag Mitzvahs. There are 613 Mitzvahs in the Torah. And those are the Shrushim, those are the roots of the Mitzvah. But the Goyin says, it's like you picture a tree. You have a tree trunk. from the trunk, you have branches. From the branches, you have leaves, then you have fruits, and then you can take the fruits down, and you can take out the pits, and you can plant it, and you can go over and over again. It's a never-ending process. The Goyin says that every word of Torah is a mitzvah. Anytime we connect ourselves to the Bnei Yisrael, and we say the part of he says, yeah, the first, and we say, Kiddush Levana is the first mitzvah in the Torah, right? He says, if you say at the beginning of the Torah, you open up a Chumash, you make Chayim a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? You're attaching yourself to the Bnei Yisrael. So the Goyin says he didn't write a Sefer HaMitzvahs because he didn't want people to so much focus on only the 613 Shroshim. The Zichah 613 Shroshim is a Tariag Mitzvah, is a concept. But he wanted the Klai Yisrael to know that no, but you should try to connect yourself in every way possible. Don't focus only on those 613. Try to take whatever you can get, wherever you can get. The Reb Chaim HaKadosh says that learning the Torah when Yerushalma connects himself to the Rebbeinu Shalom, it's called Teres Chaim. A person is able to connect himself in this world to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Mincha Balua says that this special zchus of connecting ourselves to the Rebbeinu Shalom is only for Klal Yisrael. Only Klal Yisrael received the Torah, and we know Rishonim are called Mason even when they're alive. And tzaddikim are called chayim even when they're not alive in this world. But we have a special zchus that in this world we're able to connect ourselves to the Rebbeinu Shalom. They say that somebody once went over to the Brisker Rav and he said, "Listen, I have a sachas boom yogon." He's a wealthy fellow. He says this, I don't know which sheet he was holding, it's a big machlokes of yisach hazbulin, if you have to get 50-50, or you just have to support him, I don't know the details. But, he said, I have a yisach hazbulin deal. He asked the Brisker Rav, he says, so that means, that when I go up to Shemayim, after 120, anything that the Yisacha learned, he was the Zulun, he was the rich guy. He says, I'm paid for the Yisacha to learn. Everything that the Yisacha learned, am I going to know what happened in Shemayim? And the Brisker Rav said, certainly. There's no question. Every tesis that he learned, every marsha, you're going to know it in Shemayim. So he asked the Brisker Rav, if that's the case, then why should I learn anything? There's absolutely no reason for me to learn a word of Torah. I'm paying for him. I'm going to get all this, everything that he's doing, I'm going to know it in Shemayim. I might as well not learn. So the Brisker Rav answered him, "You're right. It's true. For Olam Haba, it's true. But what's the time of that Olam Hazeh? What's going to be with your Olam Hazeh? The sweetness of the Torah, the connection to the Bnei Shalom, this world. You're right. In Olam Haba, you're going to get all the Chusim, you're going to know the Torah. But you're missing a fundamental part. You're missing the Torah. That's our connection to the Bnei Shalom, and that's the strongest connection." Last night, it was by the Siyum HaShas. The sheer number of people, everyone was talking about the 90,000, 80,000, 100,000, close to 100,000. I don't know how many people were there. There were many, many people. But I was really in a spoil from the fact that you're able to look around and there were so many different types of people. People who other people would look at it and say, yeah, he probably doesn't learn. Based on nothing, but just looking at people, people make such determinations. Some of the speakers mentioned, and there are Bali Tshuva here. I didn't particularly understand why they had to point out the Bali Tshuva here. We should all be Bali Tshuva. That's what we're all here for. No, you should, the Bali Tshuva, they're also here. We're all trying to raise our level in Ruchnius. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But the fact that everyone came together, they came for one reason. They all had people, there were people that were not able to attend. For whatever reason, the people didn't think to attend. It's not a time that they didn't come, but by the fact that you can see so many people come together to see, it was all about the Torah. It was one thing, Torah. There was nothing else. It didn't matter. Maybe there were certain politics I don't want to discuss, but it doesn't matter if the person, you heard people, they were speaking in Yiddish, there were Hasidic people, they were not. it doesn't matter what you are, where you come from, what your background is. Our connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam is the Torah HaKadoshah. And that's the true life in this world. We should not be zoichet to have that connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam through the Torah HaKadoshah. This week is Parashas Veschanon, and it's also known as Shabbos Nachamim. The Yosef Oimetz says that we know we go through a 3 weeks process, and then on the ninth day is Tisha B'Av, it goes into the tenth day. We know the tenth day there's still a certain Avelis, and after that, he says there's no more Avelis. He explains there's two different parts of what our Avodah is of the 3 weeks in Tisha B'Av, and what our Avodah is after that. The first part is having anguish and tsar over the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and we don't have that opportunity through the Beis HaMikdash to have a connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That was the Avodah until the 10th. After that, Shabbos Nachamu, when we talk about Nachama, it's a time to look forward. It's a time to console, to say is, but we know that we're going to have the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be rebuilt. We do have a connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, even though there is no Beis HaMikdash. The Maharshal says that even someone who is, there are people that have minig, I don't know people like that, but the Maharshal says a minig, not to eat meat from Shiva Asa B'Tamiz. He says it's Asa to keep that minig. After the 10th. He says, after the 10th, it's no longer, it's not proper anymore to keep it anymore. On Tisha B'Av, we have a dichotomy, well known in Judaism, that we don't say Tachanun on Tisha B'Av. Unbelievable. It's Tisha B'Av, we're mourning, and maybe saying Tachanun makes us mourn even more. When they don't get to say Tachanun, it's a big simcha in and of itself. And we don't say Tachanun. The Pitzadik says that the reason why we don't say Tachnun is because Mashiach, it's a Chazal tell us, Mashiach is born, is going to be born, was born on Tisha B'Av, after Chatzos. That's why on Tisha B'Av, after Chatzos, from Chatzos and on, we relax all the restrictions, is because of this Yisoid that Mashiach was born. There's already a Nechama, even on Tisha B'Av itself, we already have this Nechama built in. So during this whole process, we have this foresight of where we have to get to. The Imre Shefer says in Mare Degevart, he says, we say Nachamu Nachamu. Why does it say Nachamu Nachamu twice? Why does it say Nachamu Ami? He says that the first Aveira, a person does an Aveira, he gets punished for that. And then, when a person, after that happens, he does an Aveira, and he gets an Aveira for that, he gets a second Aveira. What's the second? He didn't do anything else. What's the second Aveira? Zogt der Imre Shefer, that Ribbono Shel Olam is Klal Yisrael's father. When a father hits a child, there's a famous saying, someone that father is about to hit his child and says, this hurts me more than it hurts, it's going to hurt you. What does that mean? There's a lot of truth to that. A father doesn't want to punish his child. A father is doing it properly. A father doesn't want his child to be in pain. He's doing it because he feels it's something that his child needs that's going to make his child better. He's teaching him discipline, he's teaching him how to behave, how to act, whatever it is that he's trying to accomplish, but he doesn't do it because he wants to hurt the child, he's doing it because he cares for the child and he doesn't want to have to hurt the child. The Ribbono Shel Olam is Klal Yisrael's father. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want to have to punish us. When we do a chet, and now the Ribbono Shel Olam says, oh, that year did a chet, and we have to punish him, he gets another punishment. A punishment because he made the Ribbono Shel Olam do something that he didn't want to do. And that's what he says, and it says in Pirkei Avos, mitzvah gereres mitzvah, I'm sorry, avera gereres avera, that is the Yisoid. when you do an Avera, not that it's going to cause you to do others, that causes another Avera to happen now. In every Avera, there's two parts. There's a part that you did an Avera and you made it in the Ribbono Shel, and there's a second part is that now you did something that you made the Ribbono Shel do something he didn't want to do because he lost Chai Yisrael so much. By the same token, he says a mitzvah, Gereris mitzvah. The same exact thing, just the opposite. If someone does a mitzvah, the Ribbono Shel is happy. The person did something that he wanted to do. He's going to get schar for that. By the fact that he did a mitzvah and he's going to get schar for that, the Ribbono Shel says, because you made me happy and because you did something that I want and you're going to get schar for that, I'm going to give you more schar for that, another set of schar, because you've accomplished what I wanted. Mitzvah gereres mitzvah. When it says in Parshas Nitzavim, the Imre Shef is actually going on Parshas Nitzavim, it says, Atem Nitzavim Hayoyim Kulchem Lufnei Hashem Elikeichem. Klal Yisrael got two different parshias of Klalos. Bichukosai and Parshas Kisavi. He says, what's the difference? Same thing. Parshas Bichukosai is the chet that Klal Yisrael did the Klalos. Parshas Kisavai is the punishment because of what you did in Bichukosai. That's why there's a second set of Klalos. With this, he answers the Medrash beautifully. The Medrash says that why did Moshe Rabbeinu say, "Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lufnei Hashem elokeichem roshechem tzedek"? He just gave them klolos and said, "Guys, you better listen. You better listen. You better listen, or else you're going to get punished." The Medrash tells us, "Hayriku pneihem." Klai Yisrael's face turned green. They were petrified, and Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, "Don't worry about it." What do you mean, don't worry about it? You're trying to scare, the Torah is trying to scare Klal Yisrael. By scaring Klal Yisrael, they won't do Chatoim. So why are you telling them, oh, you got scared, now don't be scared? He says that what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is you should know that this second set, the Hayriku Pnei, you got nervous. I hear. You're going to get punished if you do it. You should be scared. But you should know, this second set of qualities, as Taka shows us, is the Nechama in and of itself. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam loves us, it's only because he loves us that he's giving us the second set of punishments. The first set of punishments is for the Aveira. The second set of Parshas Kisavai is because that shows Chal Yisrael that the Ribbono Shel Olam is our Father and he loves us. And that's what the Pshat is that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Chal Yisrael, that you should know, Hayriku Pneihem, you got scared, but you should know in and of itself. Like I said, like in Tisha B'Av, like in Nechama, there's a Nechama in that second punishment. And the Nechama is that the only reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving us that second punishment is because of his tremendous Ahava for Klal Yisrael. Tu B'Av, tonight, it says a great, great Yom Tov. It says it's a time for learning Torah. It says the sun starts to get weaker, which means the days start to get shorter and the nights get longer. The Rambam says, "Reiv chachmasa, a person is koina balayla. A person's reiv is chachma, he's koina balayla." Why? I don't know. I would assume Mashar says that the olden days, how did they learn at night? At night they learned by a candle. He says, if you ever try it, he says, you take a candle and you just try to learn. You can't, there's nothing else to focus on. You have a candle, you have in front of you sefer. You have nothing else to get distracted from. You're going to sit here and you're going to learn. Pashtus, I don't know if that candle is accurate per se, could be. But definitely by night, a person doesn't have this. Most people don't have the panos issues and every other thing that they're busy with. Night is a time that is set aside. A person should learn Torah. Tu B'Av is a medrash that says that what was one of the simchas? One of the simchas was that throughout the 40 years of the Midbar, the 600,000 Yidden died. Chet and Raglan, they died. Every year, it says, medrash tells us, that everyone dug a grave for themselves, and they lay down. Tisha B'Av every year, because Klal Yisrael says that Ribbono Shel Olam is going to make Tisha B'Av into a day of mourning. Tisha B'Av every year, there was a percentage of Klal Yisrael that died. So they dug out the grave, they lay down, And some people died, they were covered up, and everyone else got up, and they went for another year. In the last year, it says that on Tisha B'Av, the last people that were left, that last group that were left, they did not die. Tisha B'Av, they weren't sure, they said maybe they made a wrong cheshbon with the calendar, maybe it wasn't Tisha B'Av, maybe so they stayed there for another day, and another day, and another day, until Tu B'Av, and Tu B'Av they got up and they said, obviously it was, the Xeru was B'Av. What's Pshat? What's the Pshat the Xeru was B'Av? Pshat is like this. The first year, there were 600,000 Yidden, and there was a percentage, 1/40th of them were going to die. Everyone davened to the Rebbeinu Shalom, please let me not die. But even without the Rebbeinu Shalom's help, I have a 39/40 chance of living, because only 1/40th is going to die. And every year, your percentages of dying got greater. By the second to the last year, right, so there was 50% of the people who were going to die. So you davened to the Rebbeinu Shalom, I shouldn't be from that 50% that they're going to die. But you still think that you can live, so to say, without the Rebbeinu Shalom helping you, because you still have percentages on your side. That last year, when they davened that they knew 100% there was nothing but the Rebbeinu Shalom could save them. Sometimes people daven for panasa, they daven for refuah, they daven for shidduchim, they daven for many different things, but they have in their head somewhere that I'm davening for panasa, but I'm going for a job interview, that rich guy can help me. Or I'm shidduch, there's a shachan, there's a refuah, there's a doctor that can help me. People are not fully reliant on the Rebbeinu Shalom. That last year, they knew it was the Rebbeinu Shalom and only the Rebbeinu Shalom. There was no percentages, there was nothing else in the world that could help them. And someone davens the Rebbeinu Shalom with that 100% pure, that only the Rebbeinu Shalom and only the Rebbeinu Shalom can help us, that's when the Rebbeinu Shalom helps us. We should be zeiche that all our tefillahs shetaka be mekuyim, l'toiva, we should be zeiche to see Beis Hamikdash, we should talk about the Chama, we should be zeichet to see the Beis Hamikdash from Hevi Menu.